Bible reading this morning is following on from last week when we looked in Acts chapter 2 and we were reminded that it always begins with God. The church began with God, the Ten Commandments began with God, and creation itself began with God. And as we start a new year, we need to remember that this year starts with God. God starts it, not us. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, and this is after the Spirit had come, there'd been tongues of fire, there'd been language, people speaking in other languages, and then Peter had got up to explain what was all happening. In verse 37, from verse 37, it says this: "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all who the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." What are you looking forward to this year? Maybe if you've had a full and long life, you think, well, there's maybe not much for me personally to look forward to this year. It's not like I'm going to get a new job. It's not like I'm going to go and all of a sudden start a career or something like that. And you think, well, there's not necessarily much for me personally to look forward to. Or maybe you're young enough that you're still totally confused about what might actually happen this coming year. Or maybe you're just, you know, sort of in the zone of life where you're just back into the routine and the daily tasks that you just need that seem to never be ending, and they're just going on and on and on. And at the beginning of the year, I would like us, even whatever stage we're in like that, if we're old or young or busy or in the middle or whatever else it is, and we can't necessarily grasp what we have to look forward to in our own lives this year, I'd like to suggest that we can at least lift our eyes and look to what we as a community of people have an opportunity to look forward to this year. You may not think, I can't even begin to think about myself, I've just got to survive. But today we have an opportunity to lift our eyes and think and look at what we might have opportunity to look forward to this year. What can inspire us? What will bring us joy? What might change and become different? What might transpire as we go through the next 11 months of this year? To have a picture, to have a vision, to have a sense of, if something happens and it's consistent with that, we go, yes, that's what I was looking forward to. That's what we were looking forward to. That's what we were hoping for. That as we go through the week and as weeks and as we go through the months and different things happen, we go, yes, that's what it is. And I want the passage today is the place I want to draw that from. Now, what often people do is that people read the passage like this one in Acts chapter 2 and they think we need to get back to that. And in fact, whole religious movements in Christian circles have arisen out of a desire to get back to the New Testament. And there's certainly some truth in those movements because they're trying to recapture something of what is lost. But today I don't want to talk about us trying to get back to something in the past. Because this passage in Acts chapter 2 was not like setting the ideal thing that we need to get back to in the past, but it was painting a picture of what it could be like for them in that setting, what it could be like for them, and it could be like for us as we take the principles of it. You see, what I think the picture here is end of Acts chapter 2 is not something to look back to, but it's what happens when it starts with God. When something starts with God, you get a foretaste of what is to come. When something starts with God, you get a foretaste of what awaits us. When something starts with God, you get a glimpse of heaven. Because that's God's project. God's project is to reunite heaven and earth and to make heaven and earth new again. That's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so whenever something starts with God, what you end up getting is you end up getting foretaste of what awaits us in eternity. And this experience here that we read from Acts chapter 2 didn't last forever, because in a little while later persecution came and people got scattered. But if you look carefully at what happens here, and then you track it through the rest of the book of Acts and the New Testament, you will see that similar elements come around again and again. You see, the foretastes that we get from of heaven are consistent. They may not come in exactly the same way, in exactly the same intensity, or exactly the same place, or whatever else. You don't have to go and try and repeat something from the past, but it gives you pointers to the future. This passage gives us a picture of heaven, a glimpse of heaven, not a perfect one, a bit like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, like I see like in a glass darkly, then I'll see face to face. And so as we go through the parts of this community experience of the early church, I want to pull out for us some of the things that actually come from heaven and is in all of our futures guaranteed. But as we come into this coming year, as it starts with God, we can expect to have foretastes of what awaits us in completeness in eternity. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The first aspect of the glimpse of heaven, the first foretaste of what awaits us, is the fact that people have an interactive knowledge and experience of God. A growing interactive knowledge and experience of God. Now we know from earlier in chapter 2 that the people that encountered the day of Pentecost were from all around the known world of the time. And last week I managed to stumble through all the difficult names of the different places where people came from. I'm not going to try and do that again. I'm not going to push my luck in that regard. But there were people, this group of people wasn't just people who had been around with Jesus for the last 3 years. These were people who had travelled into Jerusalem for the big feast of the day of Pentecost. Maybe they'd even come 50 days earlier for the Feast of Passover and they'd hung around for the next 50 days because it was like their big religious journey of a lifetime, if you like. And these people had gathered, and they hadn't been around in Jerusalem and Galilee and Judea in the previous 3 years. Maybe they'd heard reports, but they weren't close to Jesus, many of them. And so there is lots of things that they needed to learn about God. Lots of the teaching that Jesus gave that they hadn't heard yet. And so when we look at this passage and we see the glimpse of the foretaste of what awaits, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They're learning about God. They're learning how Jesus taught about the kingdom and about character and about what you needed to do as a follower of Jesus. and the breaking of bread, the remembering of Jesus' death and resurrection, and to prayer. It wasn't just this idea that you had this, you're collecting this intellectual knowledge about God, but it was an interactive knowledge and communication and relationship with God. And so whenever things start with God, you always get a foretaste of heaven where people know God better. And as we go into this year, we can look forward to people coming to know God better. We can look forward to it for ourselves and for our children and our young people. We can look forward to it for the people around us. Because when we get to heaven, we will know God face to face. And God gives us glimpses of it now. Now, I want us to be aware that I'm not trying to sell you some sort of utopian dream. There are plenty of examples down through church history of people that have gone and tried to establish the perfect Christian community. Right? And they've been good for a while, but most of them ended in tears. In fact, all of them ended in tears, or they've dispersed or whatever else. Because at the moment we see as a glass darkly, then we'll see face to face. There is still something extra for God to do. And so we will have glimpses of it. We will have approximations of it. We will approach it. But we never should delude ourselves that we're going to attain perfection and we're going to be the place where it's like perfect forever at this point. That's not something that we can pull off. But we can expect, just like the disciples in this moment in time, that we will have glimpses and experiences where we and many others come to know God better. In end of chapter 4 in the book of Acts, it's the same thing. Peter and the others had been hauled before the Sanhedrin and they'd been given a stern talking to, and they came back together and prayed, and God moved by His Spirit again, and again it described how this community had a foretaste of heaven. But then they were dispersed. But then when people became followers in Samaria and in Antioch and in Corinth and in Ephesus and other places, all those people, they also experienced glimpses of heaven, foretastes of what it was like. Not in the same way exactly. And so we don't need to look back to try and replicate what was there, but we can draw out of it the characteristic, if you like, the principle, if you like. That when something starts with God, one of the things that happen is that people have a growing interactive knowledge of God. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe, and many signs and wonders were performed by the apostles. And down in verse 46, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of the people. The other bits I want to pick up next. Filled with awe and glad and sincere hearts. Not only will, when it starts with God, will people have a growing and interactive knowledge of God and relationship with God. There'll be this internal sense of awe and wonder. Now, it won't necessarily persist through all of the ups and downs of life, you know, when you've had a real terrible week or whatever else. But we can expect glimpses of that. We can expect times when we're filled with awe and wonder. Now, I think one of the main reasons that drove the awe and wonder there was that it had just come through this incredible experience of the death and resurrection of Jesus that changed everything. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which changed everything as well. Not only was death defeated, but now God's Spirit was present with people. You didn't have to be a special person. You didn't have to be a king. You didn't have to be a prophet. You didn't have to be a priest. God's Spirit was present with everybody. I was watching the tennis last night. And when the German lady, Kerber, beat Serena Williams, and just the joy and delight, right? Now that's a passing sort of feeling, right? tomorrow or the next day we'll have forgotten about it and all that sort of thing, right? Now, she won't have forgotten about it. But here's the thing. As we have an interactive relationship with God, the reality of the resurrection is something that will bring us a similar joy and delight, a sense of awe and wonder. Because it's not just like a Grand Slam victory, but it's the victory. It's not just like, you know, winning some artistic prize or an Oscar or something else. No, this is the victory where Jesus defeated sin and death, where he demonstrated that he had power over that. And so when something starts with God, we can expect there to be people with glad and sincere hearts filled with wonder and awe. And so if we start to experience that in a worship time or when we're in a quiet time or we're walking down the street or we gather with friends or something else happens and we begin to experience that, we go, aha, that's normal, that's expected, that's a foretaste of what awaits when things start with God. Next, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. And then down in verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, there's been times when I've been in churches that I've been in part of where there's been this sort of intense experience where we've been gathered every night in the church for prayer, for example, for a week or a season. And it's been great. But those sort of intense times don't last, right? Because you actually have to go back to work and you actually have to go and do things and all that sort of stuff, right? But the deep thing about it, the foretaste of it, is that when we're in heaven, that we are going to be in fellowship with people. And that's one of the marks of the early church, is that people from all different sorts of backgrounds were gathered together. Not just, people just didn't stay in their own little cliques. It was the rich and the poor. It was the Jew and the Gentile. It was people that spoke different languages and different socio-economic groups and poor and slaves and free people. They were all joined together and ate together. And there's a passage in the... In Revelation, it talks about and actually also Jesus talks about it in the Gospels, about the wedding supper of the Lamb, this idea of this great banquet where everybody, people from every possible tribe and nation is joined together and eats together. And we can expect that when something starts with God, that we will find the strangest combinations of people gathering together, unexpectedly. Well, we saw a bit of a glimpse of that last year when we had people in our house as part of Chets and Oikos. We had, you know, people that were from our church. We had people that were not from our church. We had people from Jewish backgrounds and people from no faith backgrounds. We had people that were young, people that were old, people that were wealthy, people that were not wealthy, people that were educated, people that were not so as well educated. But gathering together around food. Something that God does. When it starts with God, there's this glimpse of this foretaste of what awaits us and a gathering of people. Now, sometimes the difficulties that come along that seek to sort of distract that, and sometimes you have to work at it. So there's a bit later on, there's a Paul talks about, I think, in Galatians, where he was in a place and he was eating with the Gentiles, and then Peter came along and made a bit of a fuss about it. Well, so Peter was there eating with the Gentiles, and then someone else came from Jerusalem, and then Peter began to withdraw, and Paul had to challenge him, saying, no, this is the foretaste. This is everybody together. And so sometimes we actually have to work for it and guard it and protect it as well. But there's this foretaste of what awaits. And a growing people with a growing interactive knowledge of God. People with a sense of joy and wonder and awe and worship. A sense of remarkable community cutting across cultural and socio-economic and linguistic barriers. And then, many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. So when something starts with God, we can expect that people will experience goodness, whether it's through supernatural healing, and there was examples of that in the early church, or through the dramatic generosity of people. I mean, it doesn't always happen in exactly the same way. I mean, a bit later on in the story of the early church, and you read it through in Paul's letters, in 1 Corinthians in particular, he was going around the churches collecting money in Asia Minor and places like Corinth in Greece and things like that to take back to Jerusalem to poor people there. So it wasn't, in that case, it was actually like a transnational thing. It was an international aid effort. It wasn't just a local effort. So it isn't just the same, it's not just the same thing, right? We don't have to try and replicate the exact circumstances of the past. But we do need to understand that when it starts with God, we get glimpses of what awaits us. And one of those things is that needy people have their needs met. And people give generously and sacrificially to make that happen. People experience God's goodness. And there's some of the words that we use to talk about the future that we seek. And we've got a little triangular thing here in our foyer that summarises a bunch of things that we are on about as a church. But the words on the back of it say, we seek a future where everyone in Ashwood, Chadston and our wider networks have had opportunities to know God better and to experience God's goodness. There are some words that we use to help try and capture these glimpses of heaven that are talked about in Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 4 and in parts and all through the New Testament when God starts something, people get glimpses of what awaits. And we've seen that, a bit glimpses of what awaits in the last year or two. People in our community experiencing God's goodness, and we've been humbled to be able to be part of that. People around us coming to know God better. And we've been humbled to be part of that. And so whether you have a sense of this year for myself, I don't know whether there's anything I can look forward to. Or maybe you're just so focused on the moment, or you're just overwhelmed with the routine of life. Lift your eyes. There's some good things to look forward to this year. As it starts with God and His Spirit, we can expect to see these glimpses of what await us. And so where we see them, let's embrace them. Where we don't see them, let's pray for them. And where we see things that seek to undermine or take those sort of things away, let's see if we can intervene to stop the drift. So that at the end of this year we can look back and say, yeah, we've seen glimpses of heaven. Because it started with God and we embraced what God was doing. Maybe there's some people or some circumstances that have come to your mind where you would like to see glimpses of heaven come in your own life, in your family's life, in your neighbour's life, in your work colleague's life, wherever. Just as I've been talking, you think, that's odd, I'd love to see that there. Well, make that a point of prayer. Pray into that. Ask for God's kingdom to come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven in that circumstance. Believe for it, look for it, trust God for it, rely on the action of God's Spirit for it. And who knows what might happen? God does. Glimpses of heaven, foretastes of what awaits us. We're just going to have a brief time of reflection now, as we do at this time in most of our services. What struck you today out of our time together so far? Where have you encountered God? Was it in the Bible reading, in the community time, in a story, in the prayer, something in the sermon, in a song? What struck you in your heart today? Identify that. Say, thank you for that, Lord. And think about how you're going to take that into this week. What are you going to do with that? How are you going to respond to that? Maybe there's someone you need to call, maybe there's someone you need to pray for, maybe there's someone you need to meet. Maybe there's some reading you need to do or a prayer time you need to have, or I don't know. Some way that you need to respond to what God's done. Maybe you think, I just really need some prayer for something. I've got a really tough situation or whatever else. Or I'm not sure about things, or I want to have more of God's Spirit in my life. Well, I would love to pray with you. Just come and see me briefly or quietly at the end of the service, and I'll be more than happy to pray with you about that. If you feel free to grab someone else that you like, that you would prefer to pray with you, like Chris or someone else, that's fine by me. But if there's something sort of sitting in your spirit that you want to pray with someone about, then don't leave our gathering today without actually following through on that. We're going to finish with a final song, Let Your Kingdom Come. And that's basically a prayer. And I just want you to put the words up for us, Celia. That would be great if you could do that. And verse 1. Let's go to verse 1. Your glorious cause, O God, engages our hearts. May Jesus Christ be known wherever we are. So the words in this song reflect this idea of glimpses of heaven, a foretaste of what awaits, that people would have an interactive knowledge of God. And so that, God's kingdom would come. And then we've got the chorus, let your kingdom come, your will be done. Let your song be heard everywhere on earth till your sovereign work is done. And then the second verse, give us your strength and courage to speak. Perform your wondrous deeds, just like you did, God, back in the early church. Do wondrous deeds around us and in people's lives as well. Lord, use us. Help us to have interactive relationship with you, and let's know your grace and your good news so that we can explain it to other people. Let your kingdom come. Foretaste of what awaits. So let's stand together and sing this joyous song as a prayer to God, expecting and looking forward to what will happen and what God has in store for us this year. Thanks, guys. God, I pray that the blessing of your kingdom would rest on us, that the power of your Spirit would flow through us, and Lord, that in this year that we would look forward to people knowing you better and experiencing your goodness in a myriad of surprising ways that go beyond our ability to cause to happen, God. May they happen because of your action and your presence and your power and for your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Hope you have a great week. Please join us for morning tea. And then there's the parents and the kids' church leaders thing a bit later on at 12 o'clock as well. God bless you.